Isaiah chapter 49. We're going to begin here as we continue in our study of the seven I am statements of Jesus Christ. Now, realize that seven times, and we're going to primarily be in the book of John, but seven times in the book of John, Jesus Christ describes himself. In fact, we see the picture and the portrait of the Son of God. In fact, as you're turning to Isaiah, go ahead and get your bulletin out and look inside there at the seven I am statements of Christ. We saw last time, of course, in John 6 that Jesus was the bread of life. This morning we'll see in John 8, as in some other places as well, that Jesus is the light of the world. We'll see in the weeks to come the door of the sheep, the good shepherd, the resurrection and the life, the way, the truth and the life, and the true vine. Now this morning's passage is going to be a little different than usual. We normally take a passage and teach just directly through that passage, but for this one, we're going to be going to different places, so just sort of hang in there. This morning, Jesus Christ declares that he is the light of the world. He is the one who's come to bring light to a world which is in darkness. And a question could be raised for each of us: have we come to the light of Jesus Christ, the Son of God? This morning, as we see Jesus Christ, the light of the world, may we respond to that light, and then may we live as children of light. Let's begin with prayer. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for each one that has come. We thank you for the music. We thank you for the opportunity to worship you in all of those different aspects. And now, Lord, I pray that we might worship you through the Word of God as we respond to the truth that is there. May we see Jesus Christ as the light of the world. Lord, may we continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior. Help us to see what he says, see what he is like, and understand our responsibility as well. We thank you for all of this, and we just ask you to teach us. We ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Gary Oliver has written an article in a magazine called Confident Living, and the name of the article is A Difference or Just Different? And what he does is talks about the way people live the Christian life. He says some people, he raises this question, are we making a difference or are we just being different? He says there's two really ways that you can approach the Christian life, or some people do. He says some approach it from the negative way. They approach the Christian life from a negative perspective. He says this. They say we must be different from the world. The Christian should do just the opposite of what the world does. The world will know we're Christians if we listen to certain kinds of music, wear our hair a certain way, don't play cards, don't cuss, or smoke, or tell bad stories. He says these people are different. He says, but there's another way to approach it, and that's the positive way. He says the most effective way for Christians to model the reality of the risen Christ is by what they do, not by what they don't do. Do we increasingly reflect the fruit of the Spirit in our lives? To what degree do we have the mind and the heart of Jesus, and how is this shown in our lives? And then he raises these questions. He says, what difference has Christ made in your life? When people look at your life, do they notice how unusual you are and what you abstain from? Or do they notice your love, your joy, and your peace? A question to each of us: how do you and I live the Christian life? Are we marked by what we don't do, or by what we're like, by our character and by our love one for another? Are we different, or are we making a difference? This morning we're going to see Jesus as the light of the world. We realize that all who trust in him become children of light. And this is a neat thing. When you put your faith in Jesus as the light of the world, you become a child of light. And then we're to be the lights in the world. The question is, as lights in this world, are we making a difference? We continue this morning with the I am statements. Last time we saw Jesus said that he is the bread of life, that he is the bread, the one who brings eternal life to the world. This morning we move to the second I am statement, and that is Jesus is the light of the world. And as I said a while ago, it's a little different because, as you know, last week we went to John chapter 6 and we spent the whole time in one chapter. That's where the passage was. This time we'll do a little different because we're going to be going different places. In fact, here's how we're going to break the study down. So it's a little different than we normally do at Countryside, as you know, but listen to this. Here's what we're going to do first. We're going to look at the need for the light. We see Jesus as the light of the world, but we're going to look first and see that we need the light, that men are in darkness and men love darkness rather than light, and there is a need for the light. We're then going to look and see that the light comes into the world, that God actually promised the light would come, and that light is Jesus Christ, who gives eternal life by faith in him. And we'll see that the Word of God basically says that man must come to the light. They must believe in Jesus. And that takes us to part three, which will be the last part of the study this morning. And we realize that we as believers, we who are children of light, it is our responsibility to reflect the light. As the Bible says, we are the salt and the light in this community. So three things. First of all, we're going to see that we need the light because the world is in darkness. We'll see that the light has come, and that is Jesus Christ. God promised it, Christ came, and we're to believe in the light. And then finally, we are to reflect that light in this community. Let's begin. There's a need for the light because the world is fallen. We live in a dark world. Let's contrast for just a minute the difference between light and darkness. When you think of light, you think of God. You think of goodness and you think of righteousness and you think of holiness. You think of things that are not hidden. You think that God is light and you think that children or believers are called the children of light. But when you look at darkness, it's just the opposite. You think of evil. You think of sin. You think of things that are hidden. As Luther said in his great hymn, that we think of the prince of darkness who is grim. The world is called the kingdom of darkness. So when we think of the world, we realize that we are darkness and we need light. John 3:19 is an incredible verse. It says, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. We'd rather be in the dark because we do bad things. The fallen world is called the kingdom of darkness. Paul in the book of Acts chapter 26 verse 18 said this. Listen carefully. He said his purpose in coming into the world was to take the message so people could go from darkness to light, from the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of God's dear Son, and to bring them forgiveness of sins. There is a need for the light. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 1 and 2 tell us what we were like before we became believers. It says we were dead in our trespasses and sins. We walked according to the prince of the power of the air. We walked according to this world. The world's in darkness. We live in a fallen world. Now, some people don't want to believe that. Some people don't want to recognize that. We say, well, there's so many good people. People are not good. We come into this world sinful. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We can tell by just what's happened recently. What about the atrocities in the war? Schwarzkopf was there at that thing and they asked him about what had happened in Kuwait. He said, I can't tell you what they did. He said, but I'm going to tell you what I know what they did, and they can't be part of this human race. Well, they are, because men are sinful and men will do things like that. When we think of our streets, you know, there's some places during the day we'll go, but there's some places we will not go at night because of what men will do one to another. I heard this on the radio yesterday. Tulsa's already had, well, in this past year, 1,400 robberies. That's a nice city. 1,400 robberies. And they're ahead of schedule for last year. When we think of the atrocities, we think of the corruption in the political process. We think of the corruption in business. We think of the hypocrisy in the religious world. And we recognize that all we like sheep have gone astray, each one our own way. No one seeks after God. The world's in darkness. The world needs light. The world needs the light of the world. And you and I live in this fallen world. Man is dead, man is blinded, and man is helpless. We see there is a need for the light. Well, that takes us to some good news. That's bad news. That's sort of a downer. You know, we're all raunchy. But now we got some good news. The light of the world has come. The light has come into the world. In the grace and mercy of God, in the midst of the darkness of fallen man, God has sent his light. Let's begin this way. I first want you to realize that God himself is light. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 says, God is light, and in him is no darkness whatsoever. He's the righteous, perfect, holy one. Psalms 27, verse 1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Who shall I fear? The Lord is the light. But I'm going to tell you a great promise. God promised man that he would send the light into the world. That's why I want you to go back to Isaiah 49. That's where we're starting today, is our first verse to look at. Isaiah 49, we see God sends the promise that he would send a light into the world to bring salvation. Look at Isaiah 49. Look at verse 6. Now, this is God speaking, and he's speaking about his son, Jesus Christ, who in this passage is called the servant of Jehovah. That is the same one who just a few chapters on up in 53 is the one who bore our sins, who we all like sheep have gone astray, each one our own way, but the Lord had laid on him our iniquity. He was bruised, he was wounded for our transgressions. Same person. Isaiah 49 verse 6 says this. God is speaking. He says, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. Now here's what he says. I will also make you a light of the nations. And literally in the Hebrew it says, a light to the nations. I will make you a light to the nations so that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. You realize that God, 600 years before Jesus was ever born, in the book of Isaiah, God is saying about the servant of Jehovah who's going to come, He says, I will make my servant the light to the world. And I will bring my salvation and it will go throughout the whole world. God has promised it. Jesus is that light. He promised He would send the light. The world is in darkness. And God says, I will send the light. Now I want you to understand that Jesus is the one. He has appeared as the light of the world. I want you to turn now back to Matthew. Before this message is over, I promise you we'll get to John. But now we're in Matthew. Matthew 14, and we're going to see as the light comes into the world. Now, as you're turning there, think with me. The world is in darkness. The world needs the light. God so loved us that He promised He would send the light of the world to bring salvation. In Matthew chapter 4, if you can remember where we are in Matthew 4, we studied it not too long ago. John has just been put in prison, and Jesus is beginning His earthly ministry. He's already been born. He's lived. He's about 30 years old. And now He begins His ministry, and look what it says. Look at Matthew 4, look at verse 12. Now when He had heard that John had been taken into custody, He withdrew into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, now that's where He had been brought up, born in Bethlehem, brought up in Nazareth, He left and He settled in Capernaum, which became His headquarters for His ministry, which is by the sea, and it was the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. Now look at verse 16. The people who were sitting in darkness saw a great light. And those who were sitting in the land and the shadow of death upon them, a light dawned. There it is, y'all. God, 600 years before, had promised the servant of Jehovah would come as the light of the world to bring salvation. As Jesus Christ begins His ministry, Matthew says, this fulfills Scripture, the people saw the light. In John chapter 1, Jesus is called, in Him was life, and this life was the light of men. He was the true light that lights men who come into the world. Jesus Christ is sent from the Father, and as He begins His ministry, He is the light of the world. Now I want you to see that Jesus made Himself known that. He said, I am the light. I'm the one, if you want to go back to Isaiah 49, I'm the one God was talking about. I'm the one who's come to bring the salvation. I want you to see that. Turn over to John. John chapter 9. We're going to begin there, look briefly, and then go back to John 8. John 9, I want you to see verse 5. The world is in darkness. God promises the light. The light comes as Jesus. And Jesus Christ makes Himself known as the light of the world. Look at John chapter 9, verse 5. The context. The disciples have just turned to Jesus and they see a man who is blind, blind from his birth. And they say, wonder who sinned in that situation? And Jesus said it wasn't because anybody sinned. It was so the glory of God and His power could be seen. And then Jesus makes the statement in verse 5. Jesus said, while I am in the world, now listen and remember this statement, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. He's the light. Matthew already said it a long time ago when he began his ministry that he was the light of the world, that the people saw a great light. Here he turns, and he turns to his men and he says, as long as I'm here, I'm the light of the world. I want you to turn back to John chapter 8. And the reason we're going to turn there is in John 8 verse 12, this is the first time Jesus says He's the light of the world. And the reason we want to see this is because it was a very special time. It had some significance to it. As you're turning there, let me give you the background. Jesus is going to be standing in the temple area near the treasury. And while he's standing there, he is going to declare to some crowd of people that is around him, he is going to declare that he is the light of the world. Let me let you understand what's happened. If you notice in your Bible, if you go back to chapter 8 and look at verse 1 through 11, you see that's the famous story of where the woman was caught in adultery and brought to Jesus. What you don't know is if you have to go all the way back to chapter 7 to find the context. It is a time of the year, a festival is going on, a feast is going on. Jesus is standing in the temple area, and it's a feast. It's called the Feast of Tabernacles. It started on the 15th day of the 7th month and lasted to the 21st, and for 8 days. Here's what the nation of Israel would do. All the people, they would take and they would build a little booth, a little lean-to out beside their houses. And for 8 days, they would live in a lean-to, not their regular house. And it was called the Feast of Tabernacles, because that the Hebrew, Greek and Hebrew word tabernacle means temporary dwelling. They lived in a tent, so to speak, a little booth. And they did that for two reasons. It was one of the feasts God gave them because it made them think back to the time of the wilderness, and they lived in all those temporary places for 40 years as they wandered around. But it was also something to make them think ahead, because it realized that one day God would dwell among men, not temporarily, but permanently. And so for 8 days, they've been in these booths. By the way, it's almost the last day of the feast. In fact, it is the last day of the feast. Let me tell you something that they did was very special. All around the temple, they had these big menorahs. You know what a menorah is? It's a big candlestick. Big candles, real huge, bigger than that. And they would be up in the ground, and they would be lit, and they stayed lit the whole time during the feast. There was one at the edge of the court of women. Now, let me tell you what the court of women. The court of women was the court that the women could go. They could go no further than that. There was a court of Gentiles. The Gentiles could go no further. There was the court of the women. The women could go no further. There was the court where the priests or the Levites could go, and then they could go no further. And then there was a place that the high priest could go, and those kind of things. Out at the treasury area, there was a big candlestick glowing, lighting up the area. And Jesus stands there after dismissing that woman, "Go and sin no more." And the crowd gathers around, and Jesus probably points at that candle and says, verse 12, "And therefore Jesus spoke to them and saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Now he makes it very clear. In fact, he pointed to the light. He says, that's a light there, but I'm the light of the world. He who walks in me or walks with me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Jesus Christ declares that he is the light of the world. And let's think for something. When he says that, that sets him apart from all, because two reasons. Remember, we've already studied that by saying I am is the name for God. As Moses was told by God, just tell him that I am sent you. And when Jesus said, I am the light of the world, he's saying, I am God, the light of the world, that brings life and light. There is no other name given under heaven among men whereby we might be saved. In a few chapters on down, Jesus Christ will say, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is saying that I am that light that Isaiah talked about that would bring salvation to the ends of the earth. And when you think about light, light does two things. First of all, light shows the way. And you go in a movie, why not? You know, go in a movie in the old days, and they have this flashlight, you know, and they take you down, they show you where to go. Shows you the way. That's what light does. Light also removes the darkness. And we're going to see how Jesus, as the light of the world, not only shows the way, but he removes the darkness. Let's look at the idea that he shows the way. He points the way. In fact, Jesus said he is the way, the truth, and the life. The way for man to come to God is through the servant. That's Jesus. I have a friend who's a pastor, and a lady came to him. And here's what she said. She had just started coming to his church, and she made this statement. In fact, she used these words. She said, I am looking for the light of truth. She said, I've been in different cults. I've been in the New Age movement. I've even tried TM, Transcendental Meditation, but I haven't been able to find the light. And he said, that's okay. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He's the light you're looking for. And we said that lights give direction. And Jesus Christ himself gives direction. Look at verse 12. And therefore Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus says that he is the way. That he is the one that shows the way. If they will follow him, that means to believe in him, trust him as Savior, there'll be no more darkness. He shows the way and the direction. You know, people look in so many different and the wrong places for God. They're trying to get to God in so many ways. Their goodness, their church membership, their baptism, that they're turning over a new leaf, the fact that they're going to try to do this and they're going to try to do that. There are a lot of ways, but that's not the way. Jesus is the way. He says, I am the light of the world. Who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus Christ shows the way. But you know, light also does something else. It removes the darkness. And that's what Jesus does. He takes men out of the darkness. Remember the verse a while ago in John 3:19? Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. It's true. Men love darkness. You're going to do evil things, you do it at night. I mean, there are places you and I walk in the daytime. We feel okay. But we're not going to walk there at night. Because people say, I do it at night, they won't see me do it. Because the cover of darkness will hide me. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. But Jesus Christ has come to remove the darkness and bring the light. I want you to look at John 12. And I want you to look at 12:46, where we see what Jesus has to say. Not only does he show the way, but he removes the darkness as well. In John chapter 12, verse 46, Jesus is speaking and he says this, I have come as light into the world, that everyone who believes in me may not remain in darkness. See, everyone who believes in Jesus is taken out of the darkness. He dispels the darkness. There will be no more darkness. Now, to believe in Jesus means to trust Him as Savior. It means to believe that He died on the cross and paid for sin. It's to realize that He is the light sent from God to provide salvation for you and I. As Paul said earlier, that when you believe in Jesus, you're taken from darkness to light, from the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of God, and to have the forgiveness of sins. That's why Jesus came. I've come as the light into the world, and everyone who believes in me may not remain in darkness. Jesus is the light. He gives direction. He shows the way. And He dispels the darkness. He takes man out of the darkness. Aren't you glad for that? We see that there's a need for the light because the world has fallen. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God is light, and God so loved us, He made a promise that He would send the light of salvation. The light of salvation Himself is Jesus Christ, who comes and says, I am the light of the world. What is the response of man? What are we to do with the light? In John 12, verse 36, we realize Jesus offers Himself and we are to believe the light so we may become children of light. Look at John 12, 36. Jesus says this, while you have the light, and you won't always have the light, but while you have the light, and He's speaking to the multitudes, while you have the light, believe in the light in order that you may become sons of light. Jesus says, while I'm here, and He's talking to that group, while I'm here, you better believe in me. Because when you believe in me, you will become the children of light. Let me tell you the context. He just told him, and we read these verses in our scripture, and he told him he was going to die. He says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. The next verse goes on to say, and he was telling them this so they would understand what kind of death he was going to die. Now, you and I look at that and say, I don't understand that. See, normally, Jewish man, if he's going to get killed, they're going to stone him because that's the way the Jewish people killed. But Jesus wasn't going to be stoned. He was going to be killed by the Romans. And the Romans killed by lifting up people on a cross. And Jesus said, listen, when I be lifted up, literally, since I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. And then it goes on to say, he was showing them, indicating to them what kind of death he would have. And he said, I don't understand this. I thought the Christ was going to be here forever. And he said, I'm the light of the world. While you have the light, believe in the light so that you may become the sons of light. In Acts 26, Paul wrote that Jesus Christ suffered and died and rose again so that he might bring light to the Jew and the Gentile. What is the response by you and I to the light of the world? And it is to believe him. He says, believe. Believe in the light. Trust in the light. Rely upon the light in order that you may become the children of light. You know, it is so simple, the idea of faith, believing. Salvation is simple. People get it messed up, but it's simply believing. We, in Sunday school, we talked about this, and this is one of the reasons we've been going over this in Sunday school, is making sure we understand the gospel and what the response is. It is to believe. It is not by works we've done, but according to His mercy that He saves us. We're saved simply by faith. Now, I also, with that in mind, want to make something clear that the faith doesn't save you. Jesus Christ saves you. As someone wrote, it is not a wonderful faith in Christ. It is faith in a wonderful Christ. It is Jesus who saves, not faith. Jesus is the object of our faith. He says, believe. Believe in Him. Believe in the light, verse 36, in order that, look at the result, you may become the sons of light. 1 Peter 2:9 says that God has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. You know, when you believe, you're a child of God and you're in light. If you do not believe, you're a child of the world, or as Jesus said it even better, you're a child of the devil and you're in darkness. This is what sets Christianity totally apart. As Bruce Wilkerson said, religion is based on what you do for God. Christianity is what God has done for you. Religion is man's attempt to work his way to heaven. Christianity is the good news of the gift that is given freely by God of eternal life by faith. Faith. What is the response that you and I should have to Jesus Christ? And it is to believe in the light. You know, I know most of you in this room have already trusted in Christ, but there could be some of you who have never responded to the light. You've never understood it. You may have thought it was your goodness or your works or something else that would get you to heaven. But this morning you realize that you're in darkness. And God so loved you, He sent His Son to be the light. And the light of the world has come in Jesus Christ. And He says, believe in Me that you may become children of light. If you do not know Christ right where you're sitting, trust Him as your Savior right now. Believe that He died for you. And you too can become a child of light and have eternal life. Now, with that in mind, we move on to the final part of our study. We see that there's the need for the light. God promised it. The light was sent in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came as the light, declared it, and told people to believe in Him. And the responsibility is to believe and become a child of the light. But that's not where it ends, because that's where you and I, most of us in this room, and in fact, I pray that every one of us in this room are children of light. We have trusted in Christ. What are we to do? What is our responsibility? I want you to realize that as believers, we're the lights of the world. That we're to represent Jesus Christ as we are the light of the world now. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 5. It's a very famous passage. It's the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5. Look at verse 14. I want you to realize that you and I now are the light of the world. Because remember what Jesus said? I told you to remember the verse in chapter 9, verse 5, where Jesus said, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world, but He's not in the world anymore. Jesus Christ ascended to the right hand of the throne of the Father. And if you come back tonight in the book of Revelation, chapter 4 and chapter 5, which we're going to be studying, you will go to heaven and you will see the throne of God and you will see Jesus Christ. So Jesus, while He was on the earth, He says, while I am here, I am the light of the world, but He's not here anymore. And Jesus tells us, Matthew 5, verse 14, you and I are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do men light a lamp and then put it under some kind of basket. But you put it on a lampstand so it gives light to all who are in the house. God did not leave us on earth to get used to the dark, but to shine as the light. You see, sometimes we get used to the dark. We just live like the dark instead of shining as the lights. You and I are the light of the world now. What does light do? Remember, it does two things. It shows the way, removes the darkness. You and I show the way through the message of Jesus Christ. You and I remove the darkness by a righteous lifestyle. Let's think about it the first way. First way you and I deal as the children of light and the lights of the world, we show the way by the message. We're ambassadors for Christ as though God did beseech. We take the message to the world, the gospel message that Jesus died and rose again, and by faith in Him, you have eternal life. Are we showing people the way? G. Campbell Morgan said this, we build our sanctuaries, we set up our standards, and then we say to the sinner, if you want to come to us, we'll help you. They're not coming to us. They're out there. Frank Tillipaw wrote a book about 5 years ago called The Church Unleashed. And he said the church had built walls all around itself. And we got in and we got our little group and we got comfortable and we rocked back and forth and have a good time. And yet, outside the wall of the church are the people who need Christ. And as light of the world, you and I are to take that message out there. Let me say this, and you know this as if coming to Countryside a number of times, but our philosophy at Countryside is that when we come together on a Sunday morning, it is to equip the saints to do the ministry. We're here to worship God and equip one another so that when we go out of this place, we reach people for Jesus Christ as the light of the world. If I believed that everybody that came on a Sunday morning were unbelievers, I would be preaching evangelistic messages every Sunday. But every Sunday morning, almost everyone in this room has trusted Christ as Savior. And so we need to equip one another so that when we, as the church gathered, become the church scattered, we touch lives for Jesus Christ. And the first way we do it is we show them the way of salvation. We are the light of the world. Second thing we do, though, is we remove the darkness. And we do that by the lifestyle that we live, a righteous lifestyle. In the midst of where people call wrong right, we must call wrong wrong and right right. And we must live a certain way. Harold Horner, one of my professors at seminary, said the behavior of the saints should correspond to their position. You're a child of God. You must live like a child of God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 says, formerly we were in darkness, but now we are in light. Therefore, walk as children of light. You and I are to live that way. Look at Matthew 5:16. He says, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and they may glorify your Father who is in heaven." You and I let our light shine as we show the message and as we remove the darkness by our lifestyle. This morning we've seen that there's a need for the light because the world's in darkness. We've seen that God is light, and He even promised that He would send the light, and the light was His Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus came and declared that He is the light of the world. And He declared that you're to believe in Him, and when you do, you become a child of light. But that didn't stop there. We realize as children of the light, we are the lights of the world. We are the salt of the earth. And we must live in such a way that let our light shine, showing the way and removing the darkness. Now, we've got two applications. The first one is very simple. Respond to the light. Jesus Christ has come as the light of the world. There may be some of you here this morning who have never trusted in Christ. I cannot assume that everyone in our room is a believer. If you are here this morning and you've never put your faith in Christ, I want you to realize you've sinned and come short of the glory of God, that you're in darkness. But God so loved you, He sent the light of the world, Jesus Christ, to come and die and pay for sin, to die and pay for your sin. And He was buried and He rose again. And by faith in Him, you become a child of God and a child of the light. Maybe you've tried a lot of things. Goodness and righteousness and churches and memberships and all these different things, but that won't get you there. Listen, there is a light shining in the darkness. And that light is the Son of God who died for you. Trust Him as your Savior. The second application will be made by most of us in this room. And that is, let's let our light shine. As children of the light, by faith in Jesus Christ, let us shine as the light into the world now. And we do it two ways, by the message and by the lifestyle. Let's make sure you and I can share the message with people. Now, this is one of the things that I talked about in Sunday school, and the thing I want to tell you now, if you come to this church on a regular basis, our goal and our plan and our desire is that you know exactly what the gospel message is, you know how to present it clearly, and you know what the response is to be from people. Be ready and able and willing to present the message of salvation in that community. We must know it. If you don't know it, if you're not sure you can share your faith, just come tell me. You don't have to tell anybody else, just tell me. I'll get down with you. I'll show you. Or I'll give you somebody else that will show you. Because as a believer, our first responsibility as the light of the world is to show people the way of salvation. Second thing we do is our lifestyle, though. We shine as lights by our lifestyle as we walk as children of light, as we are holy and righteous. Now listen, we don't want to be weird different. We want to make a difference. It's not by what we don't do that sets us apart. It's whether we have that love and joy and peace and goodness and meekness and kindness and self-control coming out of our lives. May we make a difference rather than just being different. The light of the world has come. Trust Him as Savior. And then let us who know Him be the light in this community. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for this passage. We thank You for the life of Jesus Christ. We thank You that He is indeed the light of the world. Lord, we realize that the world is in darkness. All men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All men are going their own way. And yet in Your love and mercy, You sent the light. You promised it. Even back in Isaiah, You promised the light would come to bring salvation to all the nations. We thank You that Jesus Christ is that light. And He offered Himself as the light of the world. And Lord, I pray if there's even one in our room this morning that has never trusted Christ, then right now, Lord, I invite them to trust in You, to trust in Jesus as Savior, believing that He died for them. Lord, we realize that when one believes, we become children of light. And Lord, for all of us in this room who are children of the light, we realize we have a responsibility, and that is to be the lights in this world. Lord, may we make the message clear. And may we make a difference rather than just being different by our lifestyle. Lord, we thank You for it. Jesus Christ, the light of the world. We ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.